If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Edmonton Elks veteran quarterback Taylor Powell joins us. And Taylor, let's go through your free agent process. First, you had an opportunity that you could have signed a contract extension in Hamilton. What were those negotiations like and how did you make the decision to ultimately move on?
Well, with Hamilton, I didn't really hear from them at all. After the season, whether it was with the new shift in management and all that. And then when they did offer a contract, it wasn't near what wasn't the number I was looking for. And so then basically, my agent was handling all of it and Edmonton seemed like a great spot. I love being in a West Coast offense with McSimic. I have a great relationship with Ed and Zim. And, you know, I think it's a team on the rise and, some familiar faces and super excited to join them.
Was it just that simple, Taylor, that it was a numbers game about wanting to be compensated fairly with the Tiger Cats, or was there anything else to it?
I think Bo signing a 2-year kind of is tough, and there are just conversations that needed to be had, and it just seemed the writing was on the wall, and I was looking for a fresh start.
When you say writing on the wall, do you mean Bo Levi Mitchell playing past the 2026 season, perhaps through that 2-year contract that you mentioned?
I mean, I have no idea about Bo. I haven't spoken to him about that at all, but it was a whirlwind of 3 years, I'll say. And, I was ready to, I learned a lot and I was super, super thankful to learn and start my career with Scott and learn from Bo and be able to be coached by Coach O and even Tommy Condell. I had great relationships and Jared Baines, just a great, great experience there. And, But I'm ready to, start the next chapter here in Edmonton.
I'd be curious to get your take on Jared Baines because he seems to be an up-and-coming offensive mind in the Canadian Football League. How do you feel about him in terms of his coaching future?
Ah, man, he's so smart. He's worked so hard and he's such a good person. I can't say enough nice things about him.
When you finally made the decision to move on from Hamilton, what was it like when you got to the negotiation window in terms of going through that process for the first time?
Yeah, well, there was after my rookie year, my agent negotiated a contract with Hamilton when they extended me. But this would be the second time going through it. And basically, I just let him handle most of it. And I knew the ballpark and the value of, I feel like what I've created for myself. And just, I wanted fit. I didn't really, if it was 25K or 30K less than whatever the market deemed or more or whatever, I'd rather be in a great situation. I learned that from Trevor than chasing dollar amounts. I want to be, I know I'm a starter in the league, and, I've heard from, exit meetings and fellow GMs and just about fellow head coaches in the league. Just like, if there's 10 teams, you'd be the starter, but I'm just, trying to be patient and want to be in the right situation and just ready to learn from Cody and support him and help Edmonton as much as I can.
When you say Trevor, who are you referring to specifically?
Harris.
Did you have conversations with him about his path in the CFL?
Oh man, dude, Trevor and I probably wear Trevor's phone out too much, but he's been like a bit older brother for me in the league. Just, being coached by Scott and kind of similar play styles and just way of going about things. And I really appreciate how he treats people, how he studies, how he plays the game, how he leads and, impacts lives while he plays too, I think is important. And he's just, the ultimate quarterback. And I think I've learned a lot off the field too.
You've never been on the same team with him, Taylor. So how did that relationship first start with Trevor?
It goes back to my rookie year. It's kind of during a gauntlet of a schedule when we were, right on the cusp of getting ready to secure a playoff spot when I was starting all those games. And, Scott kind of pulled me aside. He's like, hey, here's Trevor's number. We're just talking about him a lot. And he always just said stuff about that. And I just was like, shot him a text. It was like, hey, man, I look up to you a lot. My dad, he's like my dad's favorite player. I don't know if that's, it's kind of wild, but he loves watching Trevor play. And just have sparked. I think we're really alike and just super great guy.
Have you guys ever trained together in the off season or thrown together?
No. He's in Ohio in the off season. It's a little far away from me in Arkansas, but we sure do talk a lot about football and defenses and, DCs across the league and certain concepts, like, hey, I've done this before, I've taken this drop, I've done this sort of stuff. Hey, I read it now this way, all that sort of stuff. And that really helps.
That's a cool connection to have with Trevor Harris, who's of course coming off being a Grey Cup MVP as the Riders won the 112th Grey Cup. As you got into the window, Taylor, what teams did you hear from around the league? Because it seemed like there was a handful that could use a legitimate backup quarterback.
I'll let my agent handle that, all those conversations, but I'll say I'm very excited to be in Edmonton.
So Taylor, what really had you being pulled in by the Edmonton Elks, and why did you ultimately decide to sign with the Green and Gold?
I think it's just the connection with Ed and Zim, Coach McSimmick's offense and what he's done with quarterbacks and where the organization is trending. And I want to, be a part of turning that organization around.
Did you happen to have any relationship with Cody Fajardo prior to going to Edmonton?
I talked to Cody a lot after my rookie year. Specifically just on investments and finances and just handling the US to CAD and just all that sort of stuff. And just, I feel like I've talked to every vet in the league, all these guys, picking their brains. Like I'm 2 hours away from Drew and, I talk to VA all the time. Bo's one of my better friends. I feel like it's a really close league I don't know why. I don't know if that answers your question, but talking about Cody, Yeah, so I wouldn't say we were like super, super close or anything, but like going out when they flew us out, it was nice to get to really know him and sit down with Coach McSimic and talk some ball. And yeah, I feel like we're really aligned as a player, see things the same way, and super excited.
What was it like for you to have that experience with the Elks flying out a number of their big free agent signings?
Yeah, it was cool. It was like college recruiting all over again. It was cool to be around like Malik and Austin and, you know, Juice, and then get to be around all the O-line, like get back around Beard and, you know, Woody and BB and Jordan Murray. It's awesome. And then I got to meet Rank. Super excited. Just, you know, it's a really cool team we've assembled, and I'm really excited about it.
There's a bunch of Ticats that have gone over to Edmonton, Taylor. Were you guys all talking about that through your processes, or did it just happen?
I think it just happened. I don't know if it's Ed's familiarity with the roster, but yeah, I can't answer that. I don't really know.
You mentioned earlier that teams had told you that if there was a 10th team, you'd be a starter in the league. And I think a lot of people felt that way from a fan perspective when they got to see you play, as you alluded to, in your rookie year. So how do you be patient? And I don't want to say wait for your time, but prepare for that next opportunity to come around, because Bo Levi Mitchell had some injury struggles at the start there when you were in Hamilton, but the last 2 years he's been healthy and been on the field.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a trend in this league, as you see, like, you know, Zach and Trevor, and maybe not Bo, he played right away second year or so, but I think it's just kind of, you gotta, like Vernon's always told me, earn, learn, and wait your turn. And, you know, whenever you do get the keys to the organization, it's time to make that thing go. And, you know, that's what all this waiting's about, and all this studying and all this work in the dark. And quite frankly, I don't really care if anybody sees it, or if I play great. If I don't, that's fine. I'll be a great teammate. But like, if I do get a hold of the reins, like I'm going to be, give that organization everything I have.
Coulter Woodmansey told me that he's seen it up close and personal, your preparation. He said that regularly you might have been the second person in the building with the Ticats other than Scott Milanovic, who apparently gets there at like 3 a.m. Is that right?
Yeah, he does. He's, I'll say he's one of the smartest, if not the smartest person I've ever been around. So, yeah, he's a lot of Diet Coke and a lot of coffee out of Scott.
And what time would you regularly show up at the facility?
Hamilton's facility opens up at 5, so I was there at 5.
And Woodmansey did tell me that you consistently prepared as if you were the starter. What's that like to go through that process as the backup, not knowing if you might play a snap in a given week or not?
I think it's just who I've always been. It's been in the fabric of my nature ever since I was, to be honest, like in the eighth grade, kind of had the same routine. And, you know, whether I'm starting or I'm, you know, going to hold a clipboard all game, there's no excuse. This is the life you signed up for, whether you're a starter or backup. This is quarterback. And if you base your preparation based on your feelings, then you're not going to be around very long. And it's not very respectful to your teammates or the organization if you're not ready. And I want everybody in that building to know they can trust me when I'm on the field, because I've worked harder than anybody. And I know the playbook. I know the plan better than anybody. I know what the defense is doing. And I'm just going to be ready to go for the guys and the organization and the coaches.
There were some fans out there, Taylor, wondering how you would go about a decision like this when you consider Bo Levi Mitchell's older than Cody Fajardo, but both guys have essentially said they're year to year. So how do you view that decision from your perspective in terms of wanting to get on the field and be that franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I don't ever, that's a great question, Jess. I don't ever like look at like, okay, what is Bo doing? Okay, what is Cody doing? What do they sign? All that sort of stuff. I had to focus on what's the best situation for Taylor Powell in 2026. And that in 2027. That's with Edmonton. And, you know, I'm a man of faith, and if it happens this year, great. If it doesn't, great. I truly believe in God's timing, and I know that, you know, good things happen to good people. And I just know if I keep putting one foot in front of the other, you know, maybe that'll be me one day, you know, saying I'm year to year, you know, trying to play till I'm 40. And, that's exactly what I want to be doing too.
When Edmonton was recruiting you, was part of their pitch, hey, we have Cody Fajardo. He's our starter for 2026, but we view you as a player who has that franchise potential?
Yeah.
And how do you feel like you can hold up to that end of the bargain in Edmonton, switching teams, new teammates, community, you know, changing where you live, all those types of things?
I don't know. I don't know if it's my personality or what, but like, I feel like everywhere I've been, I feel like I've hopefully made a positive impact on that team or whatever. You know, you look at Eastern Michigan, you know, we had the best season in school history, first bowl game. And then I came in January and was voted team captain. I was only with Carolina for a week, but, you know, go to Hamilton. I get there day 9 at training camp, you know, Bo and Matt pull their groin the second day in camp. They're out. Okay. Then Jamie Newman quits. And I find out that I'm playing in basically the whole preseason game. And, you know, and I go on to have that rookie of the year for Hamilton. And it just, I find a way just, I feel like just to make it happen. And I feel like if you're a good person and you show up and you chop wood and carry water every day, and you truly care about people's lives, I feel like good things are going to happen. And that's kind of, I feel like, how it happens. I'm not worried about making an impact on Edmonton. I'm ready to do whatever they want me to do.
You had 3 years with Scott Milanovich. You've already raved about him during our conversation. But it seems like you can feel that you can learn a lot from Jordan Maksimek, the Canadian offensive coordinator in Edmonton. So what is it that you feel that you can take from Maksimek and his offense and his teachings and apply to your game to be even better?
Yeah, I think just, you know, being around bright football minds is always a good thing for you. You know, Coach Maksimek's been around Moss, who's part of the Scott tree. So it's all the same to me. And, you know, if you look at what he's done with quarterbacks, it's amazing, right? And it's a lot on your plate, which I love. I want as much on my plate as possible because, you know, that's why you study and that's why you work your ass off. But, yeah, man, I can't say enough nice things about him, and super excited. Put the ball down.
You were on a first place team in Hamilton, at least during the regular season, didn't quite get to the Grey Cup, but you go to Edmonton, who was in last place in the West Division last year, but at the end of the season looked like they were building some momentum. So how can the habits that you yourself have and also what you might have learned in Hamilton help turn the Edmonton Elks into a legitimate contender in the West Division?
I think it just starts as a part and becomes a whole. I feel like if everybody's trying to become the best version of themselves, then, you know, that organization's going to rise internally. I don't think it's going to be like some mantra or some agenda. I feel like each person's got to, you know, maintain their own internal scorecard and go get that and level up from last year. And I feel like we'll be like where we're at in November.
You obviously do a lot of film study, Taylor, to be ready as if you're the starter. Are you happy that you don't have to potentially go against a guy like Malik Kearney? And what's so unique about him as a player?
Yeah, man, I was Scoop's teammate in Hamilton. So we go way back. So Scoop's that's what everybody calls him. Nobody calls him Malik, but man, yeah, he's hard to play against. You got to have an extra, you got to have a great protection plan. And he's really good in the Sally inside zone, you know, RPO game stuff. And he, you know, he's just got to count for him, and he's a game wrecker. So I'm glad he's on our team for sure.
definitely is a beast out there on the field. Saskatchewan moved him all over last year. I remember watching the Labor Day Classic, Taylor. He was in five different spots on the first five snaps of the game. So I would imagine Edmonton looking to use him very similar. I'll get you out on this. What's up for Taylor Powell the rest of the offseason prior to coming up to Canada for training camp?
Yeah, it's pretty simple life. You know, I train, throw, study, coach some kids, play some golf, drink some coffee, and then repeat it.
What's your handicap?
It hovers between 8 and 9.
That's pretty good. Are you better than Bo Levi Mitchell on the course?
We've kept score over the last 3 years.
It sounds like you think you're better. I'll ask Bo. How about that?
That's fine.
Awesome, Taylor. Thanks so much for sharing some time with us, shedding some insight into your perspective of how you made the decision to join Edmonton. I know a lot of people around the CFL looking for you and your potential as a franchise quarterback. So wish you the best of luck in 2026 and enjoy your time moving to Edmonton.
Thanks, Justin. Good to see you, man.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.